And Brother Beery, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Okay, let's take our Bibles, if you would, please, and let's go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Many years ago, I heard a news clip somewhere of government in Great Britain, and they have a parliamentary system. And I was shocked as I heard these members of parliament talk in their assembly, and they were interrupting one another. They were booing if they didn't like what someone said, and it was like chaos. And as I thought back in that time, I thought, wow, there's really a difference between Great Britain and America. That doesn't happen in America, you know, when someone is speaking that holds an office, you know, people don't do that. But things have changed, hasn't it? Let's go to Luke chapter 12. And I'd like to just think about this morning, you know, freedom of speech. But people misuse a lot of things. Luke 12, verse 11. Luke 12, verse 11. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. So Luke 12:12, I've just been meditating on this verse. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Have you ever struggled for the words to say? Maybe out witnessing, struggling what to say to that person, how to reach them. Reminded, we went to a door yesterday and kind of had to walk around the side of the house. And the first thing that met us was a child size bench. And then we went around the corner, and then there were adult size places to sit, chairs and so on. And it just really struck me, the first thing when visiting that home, and no one came to the door, but the first thing that struck me was the child size place to sit. And notice with me in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And let's begin in verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called what?
A little child
unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as what?
Little children.
Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this, what?
Little child.
The same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, people get their feelings hurt real easy, don't they? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So, you know, we should not be people that get our feelings hurt. You know, if someone says something unkind, we should just pray for them. But we shouldn't get our feelings hurt over it. And as we think right here, it's, you know, I wonder how the disciples inside were thinking when they, you know, they came, verse 1, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So they come to him asking that question, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And they're probably wondering in their minds, okay, which one of us is he going to choose? Is it going to be Peter, the one who's bold to speak the truth? Or is it going to be John, the beloved disciple who's close to Jesus? Is it going to be Andrew, the one who brought Peter to Jesus? Is it going to be James and John? Is it going to be a shared title? The sons of thunder, you know, the mighty preachers. I just wonder if any of them inside were a little offended when he chose a little child. That would really make them think, wouldn't it? We were at a place yesterday. I'm not going to say too much about it because I told Brother Steve, I said, you need to ponder this one and get a message on this one. But we went to a house and we're looking out. There's a little fenced-in area, and Brother Steve, somebody in the car, I don't know, Brother Joe, you probably remember, but somebody in the car said, "These people have goats." And then I think it was Brother Steve that was saying something like, "Why is something telling me that these are sheep?" And I think Brother Joe, did you say about the voice or the sound? The baa was that of sheep, but they looked like goats. And so Brother Steve is the one that knows a lot about goats, and it just made me think. So a couple guys went to the door, the person wasn't home, so we was just backing out, and the person drove in. And so that was the first thing I brought up to that man was, I never realized that sheep and goats could be so hard to tell the difference. And so I was just sharing with him a little bit about the conversation in the car and about discerning them was the sound that came out of their mouths. And so that guy then told me a little bit about his sheep. And it just really made me think. I never realized that there were certain breeds of sheep that looked so much like goats. And I thought about how the Lord will separate the sheep from the goats someday in Matthew 25. And it made me think about the wheat and the tares. Then, you know, when they first come up, they look the same. And so it's like you got to wait till the harvest. And the same thing kind of with the sheep and the goats. I never knew it was so hard to tell between the two. I just thought it was simple, not so simple. But the discernment in our car, anyway, was the sound that come out of their mouths. And so I want to talk today about our words. And this right here, you know, a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So how humble are we? Well, our humility or the lack of it will not always be seen by our outward appearance, will it? More generally, our humility or lack of it, people will tell out of our mouths. Do we talk proudly or arrogantly, or do we talk humbly? Do we boast about things? So the words of our mouths. Let's go to Psalm 19:14. When I think about the Star Spangled Banner, let me just find it here. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? I wish they'd change that to what so humbly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, because It was really in doubt, wasn't it, whether that flag was still going to be flying in the morning. And pride should be all aside. But in Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you use the prayer list we have, that verse is on our prayer list. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The only way the words of our mouths are going to be acceptable to God is if our heart is acceptable to God. So, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Notice in Matthew chapter 12, and verse 34, Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, what? Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I was telling you about that snake in Australia, a python that attacked this man's son, little boy, and with snake's fangs, they're curved back. So if a snake bites into something, then trying to pull it out is kind of like, you know, pulling a hook out of a fish's mouth. That barb on there tries to keep the hook from coming out. And, you know, our words, it's hard to take them back, isn't it? Our words are kind of like the snake's fangs that once we give them out, you can try to pull the words back, but it doesn't work too well, does it? Once they're out, they're out. And so it tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, and I think about that with Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. What I learned in my life is that if I don't think right in my heart, I'm going to be lying with my mouth. There's a certain color car out, and I won't say the color because maybe you like that color, but it's kind of an old color from like probably the 70s, or that'd be my guess. It was in the 70s. You'd see that color on cars. And when I first saw that color come back, and I've seen it on different vehicles, and I'm thinking, my first thought is, ooh, do you have some of those colors that your first thought is, ooh, who would choose that for a car? Well, the way the car lots are right now, there's probably a lot of people that are choosing colors they don't want because it's just hard to get a new vehicle. I see the dealers just down the road, and the lots are just, there's just so few new cars, and now they're putting used vehicles in the spot where they had new cars because they're like out. I hear it's like the computer chip shortage is what's causing it. I don't know. But we went calling on a house witnessing, I don't know, quite a few weeks ago now, but the person had a certain color car in the vehicle. I think that was a pickup. And I said, wow, that's a pretty color. And he said, well, there wasn't much choice when I went. And I thought, that would have been my first choice if I would have had a choice of a vehicle. It was really pretty. It was a pretty red is what it was. But what I found is that if my heart is not right, just in my general thinking, there's going to be something then put right in my face that is going to try to tempt me to lie. So if I'm thinking in my heart, oh, what a putrid color car. You know what's going to happen? Somebody I know is going to get a car that color. And what am I going to say? Oh, that's a pretty car. If I say that, I'm a liar. Or, you know, inside, if I'm thinking in my heart, oh, what a putrid color. And then am I lying when I say, wow, you have a nice car? So I've really learned that, you know what? I have got to deal with thoughts in my heart, or I'm going to be a liar. And so When those fleeting thoughts come to me now, if I see something and I start to think about it and it's heading in that direction, I'm thinking, I just need to, Lord, thank you for your provisions and that person likes that color. And just deal with things in my heart. I mean, that's where Eve lost it, didn't she? Notice in Genesis chapter 3, that's where she lost it. And you know what? I mean, do we want to be liars? No. We don't want to lie with our tongues. Well, the only way we're not going to be liars is if we deal with thoughts. Genesis 3, 6. And when the woman, what? Saw that the tree was good for food. Now, this is all in her mind. This is all taking place inside Eve's head. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was what?
Pleasant
to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to what?
Make one
wise. All this is going in through her heart, her mind. And she didn't deal with it there. And so then she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. So sin came upon this world because things were not dealt with in the heart. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians and 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. The Bible says, casting down what? Imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity what?
Every
thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. That's got to be in our heart. That's got to be in our minds, or we're going to be liars. Every thought. And that's why our music is so important, that it'd be music that would glorify God. There was something just recently I was faced with, and I was going to just ignore it. I don't know what it was, some task. And I thought, wait a minute, if this was Jesus, what would I do? Would I leave it there? Would I pick it up? Well, the answer is obvious. I would pick it up for Jesus. Well, then I should do it. So it's just, if we go back to Luke chapter 12 and verse 12, I've just been meditating on this verse in Luke 12, verse 12. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Boy, I want that. Don't you too? I want that. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me what I should say. I don't want to let my heart go off wandering on this thought and on that thought. I want every thought to be in captivity to the Lord, because that's where true freedom is, isn't it? When we are servants of the Lord from our hearts, that is where true freedom is. Notice in Proverbs 29, thinking about words, Proverbs 29, verse 20. Proverbs 29, verse 20. The Bible says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of what? A fool than of him. Proverbs 29, 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Do we want to be fools? No, we don't want to be fools. But it's so easy, isn't it, to come back with a fast comeback to someone. But wow, the Bible says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than of him. So it's like, I want the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to teach me what to say. I don't want to just be someone with a fast comeback, you know, trying to get the best of words, you know, someone. I don't want to be that, because the Bible tells me then there's more hope of a fool than of me if that's what I'm doing. Notice in James chapter 1, James 1, verse 19. James 1 and verse 19. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be what?
Swift to hear."
Swift to hear. That's what we need to be swift at, is hearing. And then slow what? To speak. Slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So I need to be swift to hear, slow to speak. I've told you many times, but we had a missionary years ago in Taiwan, and Brother Stevens, Bryce Stevens, and when he came back after his first term over there, he says, "I learned something in Taiwan. Us Americans don't know how to listen. All we know is we're trying to think about what we're going to say, and we're not even listening to what they are saying." And that is so true. I think of a witnessing, you know, we're trying to think, okay, what am I going to say to this person? That house we went up to with just the child-sized bench first, and I was thinking, okay, I don't know what these people are going to say, but actually, I guess it was Brother Steve's turn, but I thought about that little bench, and I thought, you know, if somebody answers the door, that's what I'm going to say to them, is, you know, if it was my turn, that is, about, you know, that the way you have your things arranged on this porch is exactly right. We need to humble ourselves as little children, Matthew 18. If we want to be saved, we need to humble ourselves as a little child. But just trying to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Notice in Ecclesiastes 5. Ecclesiastes 5. You know, it'd be interesting to know how many people have lost their jobs because they were quick to post something on social media. Some weeks ago, there was a police officer that one of the so-called famous basketball players come out with something. I don't know what it was about. And so this police officer videotaped himself probably with his phone in his cruiser. And he is pretending on his cell phone that he was talking to this famous basketball player. And as he was posting this, it was kind of funny because he was mocking this famous basketball player. But what the officer was saying was true. I mean, the basketball player, you know, who cares what sports people think about anything? I don't. At all. But they think that because they're so famous and so wealthy and so well known, they think that people are just waiting for them to tell them what to think and do. But as I watched this police officer saying this, it was funny. But I thought, you have on your uniform, you are in your police car. Are you going to lose your job over this? And guess what? He did. He was fired. Okay, so was the funny little video worth it? I just saw recently that someone else offered to hire him. I don't know if it's still for police work or what. But people, because they're so swift to speak on social media, I've just read about tons of people that have lost their jobs. They're just so quick to get something out there, and that's it. They lose their job. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, here says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to what? To hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God." You see, it's dealing with that chain reaction, isn't it? Okay, well, verse 2, "Be not rash with my mouth," but if that's going to be the case, I've got to deal with my heart. And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. It's just whether we're speaking the words or whether the words are flowing out of our hearts, it's so easy to speak too quickly and say things we shouldn't say. Notice in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 32. Proverbs 10:32. The Bible says the lips of the righteous know what is what?
Acceptable.
But the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. So the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Acceptable. What is acceptable? Well, if I'm rash with my mouth, if I'm too quick with my mouth, I'm probably not going to say what is really acceptable. So we need God's help. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Isaiah 50, verse 4. This is a prophecy here. It says, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to what? Speak a word in season to him that is weary. I wonder how many times that we have that word to help that person that's weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. What did we get up this morning thinking about? I don't know if you remember. Did you wake up with a hymn? Many times I'll wake up with a hymn on my mind. Maybe if you have a busy day, you wake up with just all those things, you know, that you have to accomplish. But the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Well, this prophecy of Jesus, because verse 6 says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. So it might be in that day that God will call us to maybe suffer a little persecution. And, you know, usually in America, the extent of our persecution is someone will say something unkind to us, because we'll try to witness to them. So, but that's really pretty mild persecution. But it bothers us nonetheless when people are unkind with their words. But you think Jesus here was going to have to give his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. And how important it was then in verses 4 and 5 that he wakeneth morning by morning, speaking with his Father, to say the right things. Because if you look in Isaiah chapter 53, so none of us know what we might face in a day's time. We just don't know. In Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for what?
Our transgressions.
He was bruised for what? Our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And when we turn every one to our own way, we turn to our own thoughts, the thoughts of our hearts. We turn to our own way. And because our hearts are not right, we say the wrong things. And it's like, I don't care, I'm going to say it. Well, yeah, I know we don't care. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here's verse 7. What do I want you to see? He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he what?
Opened not his mouth.
So the prophecy we just read about, waking in his ear to hear every morning, and then the suffering was going to come. They're going to lay open his back with a whipping, a scourging, and pluck the hair out of his beard. And yet, verse 7, he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. So I just pray the Lord would help us. Free, we're free. Yeah, we've got the First Amendment. You know, we can say things, but would God want us to say those things? It's got to be our hearts have to be right. That's the number one thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you would help me. Lord, as I've been thinking about this, Luke 12:12, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit to teach me what to say. Father, it just seems like so many times we try to premeditate on things to say, and that's just not how things come out, the conversation, the situation. And Father, I just pray for words from you. I pray, Lord, that you would help my heart to be acceptable to you. I pray that you would help me to bring every thought into captivity to Christ. Lord, that my heart, my words, my life would please you. And I know that is the desire of the people gathered here today. We want to be faithful witnesses that do have an impact upon lost people. And we want to be encouragers for the weary. We want to be a help to those who have fallen into sin. We don't want to be their judge. We want to be their helper to be restored. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us to watch our hearts, to guard our hearts, to yield our hearts to you. I pray that we'd be thankful for the liberty we enjoy and would not misuse it with the thoughts of our hearts or with our words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Next service starts.